Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
I'm going to start in Deuteronomy 34 tonight.
All right.
Deuteronomy 34, and I want to talk tonight about this subject. I want to talk about wisdom from the Spirit and how we can get wisdom from the Spirit of God. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. When Jesus left, he said, I'm going to send another comforter that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. So he's the one, amen, that's helping us now. Not that we don't receive help from Jesus, but Jesus sent him to be our comforter. He said, I'm going to give you another comforter. And that word another means one like me. Praise the Lord. And so, and he's an awesome being. How many know that?
Yeah.
Amen. That's an understatement. But anyway, that's about the best language I have. But I want you to look with me in Deuteronomy 34, verse 9. It says, and Joshua, I'm going to read the first half of this verse. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him. So he got something from Moses that Moses got from God. And it's called the spirit of wisdom. The spirit of wisdom. I mean, wisdom is severely lacking in the world today, because we've left God's word. You know, the apostle Paul warned that in the last days some would depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits, doctrines of demons. And that depart means to drift away, or we drift away from the Bible. We've seen that in our own country. Thank God, I think there's an awakening going on myself. And I think it's going to get stronger. But we have seen that, we no doubt, adrift from the Word of God. And, of course, when you drift from the Word, what you get is demons. So we've seen that. But there's such a lack of wisdom that it's just like it's sometimes just mind-boggling at some of the things that people think are okay. And it's like, how did we ever get here? One Supreme Court justice said this about a certain decision that was made in America, which was a wrong decision. And this justice said this, if it was wrong 200 years ago, how could it be right today? What changed? Truth doesn't change, does it? It stays the same. And God has given us the Holy Spirit. And I'm thinking about him today, about how Isaiah talks about how the Spirit of God is the one that you know, we know that the Father spoke, the Word was involved, but the Spirit moved on the face of the deep to bring things to pass. He was the builder, if you can say it that way. It was through the Word. And I thought about how Isaiah said that he, talking about making this whole universe, that he measured the waters in the hollow of his hand. And when all that means is that, and it, you know, this could be a metaphor, but it's letting us know how far advanced the Spirit of God is from anything we have.
Yeah.
He could take, in other words, a little bit of water in the palm of his hand and tell you exactly how much water it's going to take to fill every ocean, river, lake, stream, pond in the world.
Yeah.
We don't have anything can do that. It said he comprehended he meted out heaven with a span. He took his, you know, span is like the distance between your tip of your thumb and your little finger, and he looked at that vast expanse and knew how much it would take to fill that.
Yeah.
You know, and they tell us that it's still going today. When God said light be, he never said light stop. So it's still going today. You know, did anybody ever see that? What was that space telescope, the Hubble? Is that the one that's still going or something? But anyway, I saw some of the pictures that it sent back. It's like, oh, are you kidding me? It's amazing. You know, it's way out there, you know, and it'll never get to the end of it. You know, you send that thing from here to eternity because it's still going. And we, you know, even like the stars that we see in the night, the light that you're seeing from them and some of them stars is millions of years old. That's how long it took to get here. Think about that. You see that, you think, you know, that's current. No, that light you're seeing is millions of years old. It's that far away. It took it that long to get here to the earth. And the Spirit of God made all of that. And He wants to direct our lives. Yep. How many think if He can do that, He can probably fix anything going on in our lives if we just learn to listen to Him.
Amen.
Amen. And that's what I want to talk about tonight, about getting wisdom from the Spirit, learning to listen to the Holy Spirit, because He will guide you in things. He will, He guides you even in the things of the natural life if need be. I don't think He necessarily is going to guide you, you know, whether you're going to have chicken tonight or steak. I think you can make that call yourself. He could if He wanted to. But I'd say that, you know, some things are left to us. Well, I can guarantee you He can guide you in who to marry, what house to buy, what job to take. He can guide you in all that. Amen. If you'll just listen. He can guide you in small things, right? You know, I was looking at the other day. I was in a store, had my cart, you know, and I was putting stuff in there. And I'd been wanting to buy something. And I'm one of these guys, if it's on my list, I'm on a mission to check it off. That's all there is to it, you know. I just want to get checked off so it's gone. And so I'm wanting to get to buy this item, wanting to get it checked off, you know, and so I put it in my cart. I'm just not feeling right about it, you know. But I'm thinking, well, you know, for the choices that they got, you know, that's the best choice, I think. And so I'm going through the aisles, and I'm still not feeling right about it. You know, something inside me is scratching. It's not a big deal. I mean, the thing cost, I don't know, $25. What's $25, you know? Well, you know, the Spirit of God can save you $25. And I'm just going through, and I thought, wait a minute. What am I doing here? I don't feel right about this. I'm going to put it back on the shelf. Forget it. It's still on my list. I'll get it checked off someday. But whatever, for some reason, I guess that was going to frustrate me. Amen. Well, how many of you are following me? Y'all quiet, but anyway. You know, I don't believe the Holy Spirit would guide you in something like that. Well, no, He won't you because you don't believe it. You got to have some faith. You know, and I don't just everything like, you know, Holy Spirit, what do you say about it? I guess I could, but, you know, there's some things He gave us a brain for. But He can speak into your life. How many know that? So the Spirit of wisdom was on Joshua, because Moses laid his hands on him. Well, we find this same thing that the Bible says the Spirit of wisdom was on Jesus. Amen. You know, and well, who is the Spirit of wisdom? How many know it's the Spirit of God? Look, the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit, when He comes, He'll lead and guide us into how much truth? All truth, right? What we need to know, He can guide us into that. Amen. And I love this. I'm not going to look at the Scripture, but I love. There's a scripture, the scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, where it says, it says this, what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man that's within him? In other words, nobody really knows what you're thinking except the spirit that's in you. Amen? You know, I could fix you something for your dinner, and you might be polite and say, Pastor, that's not bad. That's not bad. What you're thinking is, that's trash. Right? You ever hear Jesse tell that story? That's so such a funny story. He was at somebody's house, and I don't know that much about it. I like gumbo. I don't know what bad gumbo is, but he says if it's bad, it's really bad. And he said he was eating with these people, you know, at their house. And I don't think the husband was saved or something. Maybe he was. I can't remember now. But anyway, this woman made gumbo for him, and he said she did not know how to make it. And he said, she asked, so Jesse, how do you like the gumbo? Well, I mean, you know what I'm saying. You try to be graceful, but he just said, ma'am, this stuff is trash. probably could have said it a little nicer. But he said, when I said that, her husband jumped up and said, "Now I know you're a man of God. We've been eating this stuff for years." Well, I don't even know why I told that story. Where was I at, huh? You don't know either. Okay. Then I can pick up anywhere if y'all don't know, right? But, you know, pardon? Having grace about you. Yeah. Well, that's not how you have grace about you. But anyway, but, you know, you know what I'm saying. I know what I was saying. You know, nobody knows what you're thinking but you. That's what I was talking about. You're the only one. Really. The Spirit of God knows, of course. But I'm talking, no other human being really knows what you're thinking. But the Bible says the spirit of man in him knows what he's thinking. See? Then the next verse says, nobody knows what's on the inside of God, what he's thinking, except the Spirit of God. Right? So no man knows what's in a man, no other man knows what's in a man, but the spirit of the man is in him, and nobody knows what's inside of God except the Spirit of God. Amen? That's the Spirit of God knows. Yeah. And then the next verse says, and he hasn't given us the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things which are given to us of God. So the only one that knows what's inside of God is the Spirit of God, and God put the Spirit of God inside of us so we can know what God thinks about things. Amen. You know, in that story I was talking about us going on vacation and the Lord dealing with me, you know, don't stay here. Well, I didn't know why the Lord said don't stay there. You know, I'd already paid her. We paid our money and all, and the Lord was just telling, get out of here. Don't stay here. I don't know why, but but I know that's what God was thinking, because the Spirit told me. That's what he was thinking for my life. Get out of here. I mean, he knows what's best for your life. And I'll tell you, sometimes what he tells you, you may not like it in the natural. It may disappoint you, but it'll be for your good. In the end, you like Brother Hagee said, some of the things we cry about now, we'll shout about later. Why? Because some of the things that we think we want, we really don't need. Have you ever had an old girlfriend or boyfriend that broke up with you? Boy, you people lived an isolated life. Nobody? And then you saw them like 40 years later at the class reunion and say, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm glad I got the one I got. Come on, how many know that? You see them years later, you think, oh, dear Jesus, God good. Hallelujah. That hurt at the time, but I'm glad it happened. Because, you know, God knows, doesn't he? Sure. Amen. I've told people before, don't marry that person. And sometimes they listen, but most time they don't. But see, I'm not telling them based on what I want for their lives. It's based on what I feel. I remember having a couple in my office one time, premarital counseling. And I start talking about what a man's duties is. And I can tell this girl sitting on the couch with this young guy is kind of looking at him thinking, he doesn't do any of that. She canceled the marriage. I thought, well, okay. Amen. I said, you know, a man takes care of you. You're his queen. He's going to take care of you. He's going to make sure you got everything you need. Amen. He's going to rub your feet. I just made that up. That's not Bible. He's going to be good. How many know what? He's got it. The Bible says he's got a job to cherish you like Christ cherished the church, to love you like Christ loved the church, to take care of you. And I'm talking about that, and this young lady's looking at this guy like he don't do any of that. And, you know, and I knew he probably never would. So I thought, well, this is a good time to bring this up. Amen. See, I've learned a long time ago, a lot of people are going to do what they're going to do, and they're just going to do it. But there are some people that you can rescue and will listen and think about it. Because God's got your best in mind. So sometimes he might tell you or lead you not to do things that you really want to do, but it's always for your good. How many know that? You know, there's been times I've wanted to buy things and I could tell the Lord was saying, don't do that. Don't do that. Doggone it. Hallelujah. Let me talk to Jesus. He's been here. No, how many else not going to change no matter which one of the Godhead you talk to? They're in agreement. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. They're in agreement. Amen. So John said it like this. He said, we have an anointing inside of us that teaches us. We can know all things we need to know, right, about our life and so forth. So God has given us his spirit so we can know what's inside him. Go to Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs 19. I don't know about you, but, you know, I've just lived this long enough to know, you know, there's been times I've wanted things and I was just kind of, man, I hope God doesn't say no. I hope he lets me have that or lets me do that. But you know what I've learned? His way's best. His way is best. Amen. So, you know, I remember years ago, I was asked to go preach to this church as far as ever pastoring here. I was asked to go preach to this church, and I just felt like the Lord didn't want me to go. But, man, it's an open door. You know, Brother Hagin used to say, if you don't got any place to go, anybody that asks you to go, go. That's an open door. It didn't like I have to check my schedule. I don't have any schedule. And so, you know, but, you know, sometimes the Spirit, and that's what he said was really true, but there's times the Spirit of God could step in and say, don't go there. And I just felt like he told me don't go, and I wasted my time going, you know. It wasn't a tragedy, but if I just listened to him and just told him, you know, hey, I can't come. The Lord won't, you know, all you got to do is say I can't come. You don't have to explain it. You know, I just can't come. But God, he can lead you in all things, can't he? Yep. All right, did you find Proverbs 19? Go there, Proverbs 19. Look with me. At verse 21, I think it is. The King James says, there's many devices or many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. How many know we all have all kinds of things go through us, right? I mean, maybe God might not be God. Because we have, you know, James said there's four sources of wisdom. He says, there's earthly wisdom that's from the earth. You get it from the earth. There's sensual, it comes from your senses. Then there's demonic, but then there's wisdom from above. That's the wisdom we want. Right. You know, we don't want just what our senses want or what the earth tells you, right? You know, some things that the government and the world's told us to do have gotten people into trouble. Man, just some things have almost killed people. Amen. You know, the COVID shot, you know, there's people that took the COVID shot, didn't bother them. There's people that took the COVID shot and almost killed them. And almost killed them. And so how many know, you better listen to God, right? Before anybody jabs you with anything, you know, you might want to check. Right? Well, they've tested it out. Right. If you haven't learned by now, you can't trust the government calls us the government, then you haven't learned much yet. No, this is an anti-government message. That's not what it is. I'm just saying it's people. Just like you're a people. Amen. You know, a doctor told me this one time. He said that when he was in, I think he was still in medical school or school there, he said that one of the other interns or whatever he was studying to be a doctor, somebody in his family got something wrong with them, and he recommended a certain thing they do and it fixed them. But one of the other doctors found out about it and tried to get him, you know, arrested for practicing medicine without a license. It was just like a natural thing he had them do, and it fixed their situation. And this other doctor was kind of upset because they didn't come to the real doctor to get it fixed. But you know, how many know the Spirit of God knows, right? And so he said years later, this doctor's wife that, you know, threw a fit because, you know, he recommended something for one of his relatives and he wasn't like a full licensed doctor. His wife got the same thing
that this other relative got that got fixed. And so he calls this guy and he says, I know I kind of went off on you. He said, but what was that you used? My wife's got the same problem. Well, you can't just, how many know you can't just listen to anybody? You better listen to the Spirit of God, right? Amen. Hallelujah. He knows. I said, he knows. Thank God for doctors. That wasn't a knock against doctors. Thank God for doctors and all that. But I'm just simply saying, some of the things that, you know, that are recommended, you jabbing yourself and all, you better check.
Right.
Some of the stuff you better, they tell you to put in your mouth, you better check. You better check it. You better check it with the Spirit. See if he has anything to say about it. He doesn't say anything, then maybe it's okay. But if he warns you, leave it alone. Is that good enough?
Yeah.
All right. So there's many plans. Listen, there's many plans in your heart. I mean, sometimes, let's just be honest. How do you know sometimes it can get a little murky trying to decide what's the Spirit of God and what's you? But I'm going to talk to you about that. One thing you have to do, and if you don't do this, then you really can't be real confident sometimes. But you got to fill yourself with the Word. Hebrews tells us in Hebrews 4:12 that the Word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing, dividing asunder the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So the Word of God, it can discern between what's of your soul and what's of your spirit. Now, how can it do that? Because it says it's a living thing. It's powerful. How many of God said, remember we talked, God said, let there be? How many know we've still got light, right? It's still expanding, right? That came from the Word of God. So it's a powerful thing. I can't explain it all except it's supernatural. So when you fill yourself with the Word of God, how many know your soul wants things, right? But it may not be the Spirit of God. So that's what he says here. There's many plans in a man's heart, but it's the counsel of God that's going to stand. It's what's really of the Lord that's going to bless your life. And so, you know, we can make emotional decisions based on our emotions, and that's not good. Amen. You know, you can buy things because of your emotions. They try to play on your emotions. You ever notice how a lot of times the sales, it's like 5 hours left, 5 hours only? We used to have a guy in Petersburg. He had run a furniture store. And I don't know how many going out of business sales he had. He had them for a few years. And, you know, when that kind of wore out, he did lost lease sales. I lost my lease. I'm going out of business. And he'd have these sales. I'm not going to name him. We're on live stream. But he had this furniture store in Petersburg. And he'd put that on his window, you know, lost lease and all that. It's just an emotional play to get people in there. Amen. You know, I bought something over the Memorial Day, you know, Memorial Day sale. It got me. My wife helped. I did need it. Yes, I did need it. But she said, it's Memorial Day. Sale going on. Go get it. And she should have gone with me. That's the truth. She's going with me next time. She doesn't know it, but she is. But, you know, because I might have got the wrong thing. But anyway, I don't like a lot of choices. Heaven and hell, that's just two. I got that figured out. So I look at the tag, you know, and yeah, it's $100. I don't know, maybe more than that off, you know, and I'm thinking, praise the Lord, all right. Hey, I'm getting it for a little less. And, you know, I went to the manufacturer's website. And the thing they had it on sale for Memorial Day is about what they sell it on the manufacturer's website. I thought, okay. Emotion, hallelujah. How many understand we can't make our decisions in life based on our emotions? But how many know sometimes your emotions can tell you, this is God, right? You go through the new car lot, God's talking to you. He said, buy the red one. But you know where you got to check? You got to check deep down inside of here. The Bible tells us that the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of his belly. What does that mean? The spirit of man, God lights us up on the inside by our inner man. That's why you got to stay full of the Word, because the Word will help you discern that, because it's a living thing, and it'll help you discern what's of God, what's of your flesh. I'm not saying it's always easy, but you got to take your time with some things sometimes. Mm-hmm. Amen. Yeah. You know, that old pressure, you know, that you got to do it now. Don't fall for that. If you don't have peace about it, don't do it. Don't buy it. Don't do it. Whatever. If you don't feel real comfortable inside, just don't do it. Yeah. Amen. How do I know that? Well, through successes, of course. And failures. The failures taught me. It's like, I should have listened, because I felt something deep inside. There wasn't a total peace about it. You know, I just did it because I thought it'd be good, but I didn't feel a total peace about it. Amen. And so you got to learn to listen deep down inside here. We're going to talk about that in just a little bit before we close. But I wanted to talk about this because, see, if your life is a mess, God's not leading you. Because he said, I will lead you continually, Isaiah 58, I think it's 11, and to satisfy your soul in drought, you'll be a fruitful and so forth. When God's leading you, your life's fruitful. Doesn't mean you don't have any challenges, but you come out on top. Your life's not. See, people, their life's a total crash, burn life. God's not leading them. He doesn't lead. He leads us beside still waters. Amen. He read Psalm 23. That's when he's leading you. The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. Amen. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. I remember years and years and years ago, man, this revelation hit me. You know, the Bible talks about we're the sheep of his pasture. I always thought, isn't that wonderful? Isn't that great? Isn't that awesome? And then I got this revelation. Man, this is back in the 1980s. It hit me. Wait a minute, sheep are stupid. I learned that from a friend of mine. Before I was saved, I had a friend who was a farmer, and I was at his house one night, and we were drinking, and it was late, and his sheep got out. And so he says to me, my sheep got out, I got to go get them. And, you know, I mean, I said, well, man, they get hungry, they'll come home. He goes, you don't know much about sheep, do you? I said, well, not really. He said, they're too dumb, they can't find their way home. I got to go get them. You know, your horse will come home. How many know that? How many watch enough Westerns to know you shoot a guy off his horse goes home? It's like, I'm going home. I've watched it, man, many times, you know, where they want to find out I've seen this before where they an outlaw, he escapes, but they, you know, they don't know where his hideout is, but they get his horse, and so they just turn the horse loose. The horse goes home. But God didn't say, you're the horse of my pasture. He said, you're the stinking sheep of my pastor. You're too stupid to make it on your own. If I don't lead you, you're not going to make it. How many know that's the truth? How well were you doing before Jesus came into your life? Not so good. It was a mess, man. But when he got a hold of me, things started to change. Things started to get better, sweeter. Started to have peace, joy, love. Hallelujah. Blessings started coming. Common sense. Yep. Everything. Man, praise the Lord. So let's close out. Let's go to the book of Acts chapter 16. I want to talk to you just a little bit more. You know, because I understand the fact that sometimes it's a little hard to discern. Even if you've been doing this for years, you have to slow down sometimes and say, what am I feeling on the inside here? What, do I have real peace about this? And if you don't, you know, because as many as are led by the Spirit of God, how many know they're the sons of God, right? How many know the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit? What does that mean? That means, how many know your spirit is born again? How many know that? In the image of God. It can pick things up because it's in the image of God. This is not taught in a lot of churches, but when we were born again in the image of God on the inside. That's what the Bible says. We're new creatures. We still got the flesh to deal with, but we got to learn to let the inner man dominate. But the Spirit bears witness with our spirit. What does that mean? I mean, if your spirit's picking something up, the Spirit can come along and say, yeah, I agree with that. That's good.
or can say, no, no, don't do that. You know, the Spirit can bear witness with you. And so here we have in the book of Acts, chapter 16, a story about Paul and Silas. And it says in Acts 16, verse 6, it says, when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. After that, they come to Mysia and they tried to go into Bithynia, and the Spirit suffered or allowed them not. So here we go. They're trying to go preach, and the Holy Ghost said, don't go. Now, how did he say it? Well, he didn't say it like shout it from heaven. The Spirit beareth witness with our spirit. They had a knowing inside. The Holy Spirit's not in this. We can't go. He didn't explain why. He just said, don't go. Well, he had something else in mind. And as you read on, which we're not going to read all this, but you read on, it says, look at this. It says, and verse 9, and in a vision appeared to Paul in the night. In other words, when he was asleep, he had a visitation, a night vision. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after we had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called for us to preach the gospel unto them. Well, how many know that was what God wanted them to do? You know, they went there. I mean, it may not look like, because they went there and got put in prison. But the Philippian jailer got saved, and a lot of good things came out of that. Church historians say the Philippian jailer was the first pastor of the church of Philippi. I mean, if they didn't get anything else but that man born again and in the ministry, pastoring the church at Philippi, that was worth it. But the Spirit said, don't go here and don't go there. What I'm saying is he didn't yell down from heaven, don't go. It came the way it normally comes. They just sent something on the inside like, we're not supposed to go there. But then the Lord said, go into all the world. Yeah, but he has a right to tell you what part of it to go into. Now, I'm going to close. I want you to look at Acts 15. Now, the church here is trying to decide, you know, what to tell the Gentiles. They've gotten saved. Some people are saying, no, the Gentiles need to keep the law, and they've come together. And Paul, you know, is saying, like, no, that's not right. And so they're praying about it. And in verse 28, it says, for it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these things, than these necessary things. So, how many, it just seemed good. How many of us said, seemed good? How many know you got a seamer? And things can seem good or things can seem not good. You got to listen to that. Don't always expect supernatural guidance. Most of the time, you're not going to get that. I've had it a few times. I've had a night. You know, when I was in 1972, I had a night vision. A vision of the nighttime, like Paul, where he saw the man of Macedonia. When I saw the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, just a sentence to him, he said, I'm coming back soon. And, you know, that marked my life. I wasn't serving God. It was 19, I was 21 before I got born again, started serving the Lord. But that still marked my life. I still knew that there was a God. I knew Jesus was real. I saw him. In this night vision, he filled the sky from his waist up. He filled the sky, and his, you know, like John said, his voice is like the sound of many waters. That's exactly what it sounded like. It sounded like Niagara Falls, man. He said, I'm coming back soon. It just reverberated like it filled the heavens, you know. And I'm out on, in this vision, I'm out on this football field, you know, our in our city, and all, because we, you know, that's where we had recess and all, and, you know, went out there and we played football out there and stuff. So I'm out there in this vision and I see this. Well, you know, from then on, I knew that Jesus was coming back. Amen. You know, not because I knew the Bible. It's in the Bible, but I knew it because he said it to me. And I mean, I couldn't deny what I saw. I saw it. And I didn't tell anybody for years later, but I didn't tell anybody until after I became a Christian. But, you know, those things are rare. Most time it's just on the, like the Bible says, the Spirit beareth witness. We just kind of like get a green light or a red light. It's like, do this or don't do this. Amen. And if you don't get anything, well then, I guess you use your brain. How many still got one of them? All right. Just checking. You know, the Bible says we're transformed by the renewing of our mind, not the removal of it, right? Now, I want to show you something here. This is interesting. Paul and Barnabas, Judas and Silas, are sent to Antioch by the church at Jerusalem to go there, and they're going there ministering and preaching. And it says in verse 32, Judas and Silas, being prophets, also themselves exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. And after they tarried there a space, they were let go in peace from the brethren unto the apostles. In other words, they said, okay, now you can go back to Jerusalem. Notwithstanding, it pleased Silas to abide there still. So something seemed right with Silas to stay. You say that? See, Judas went on back home. He went back to Jerusalem. But Silas felt, he just felt like, you know what? I just feel right about staying here. And Paul, verse 35, Paul also and Barnabas, who were a missionary couple working together, you know, continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again, visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark, but Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed from one another. And Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. Let me ask you, what would have happened if Silas hadn't listened to It Seemed Good? He wouldn't have been there. Why did it seem good to him to stay there? It seemed good to him to stay there because God knew what was coming up. God sees the future. How many? Surely you know that, right? So he knows what's coming up, and he knows, Silas, you need to stay here because you're going to travel with the Apostle Paul. Oh, what a privilege. And they became the greatest missionary couple ever on the planet. But it wouldn't have happened. You would have thought something like that, God would have yelled from heaven and said, Silas, stay put. He didn't. He just put something on the inside of him, his spirit man. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. And he lit him up on the inside and said, hey, it's good for you to stay here. So he listened to that and said, yeah, I'm going to stay here. See, it's so small. If you just let your flesh have control of your life and your soul have control of your life, your emotions have control of your life, you won't hear that. You'll override that. You'll think, I'm tired, I'm going home. How many like me? There's two places you like to be. Both is home. You know, I've got coming up a 2-week trip coming up. You know, it's a little later in the year. And I know the Lord wants me to go. I'm hoping He'll change His mind. But when I was invited, I was already thinking about it, thinking, you know, I probably need to go back over there, you know. And so I got a call. I mean, that morning, I'm thinking, you know, I think I probably, because I really, you know, wasn't really wanting to go back, because I like to be home. And I'm like, but I got to think that morning that, you know, Lord, I need to go back over there. And I got a call from the missionary and said, hey, can you come? I thought, well, okay, I guess I can. If you're asking me, no. But if the Lord says go, how many know you just better obey? So I'm already thinking about coming back home. That's just the way. Phyllis can tell you that's the way I am. We go, even now for meetings. You know, I got a meeting coming up next week, be gone biggest part of the week. And, you know, she can tell you, I no more get to a place and it's like, can we go home? All right, we checked into the hotel. Let's leave. Let's go. Because that's just me. That's my personality. But how many, you can't be led by that. You got to be led by the Spirit of God. So I'm sure Silas has been there a long time. He wants to go home. That makes sense? But something inside of him said, it's good for you to stay here. Well, I bet he's glad he did. Amen. You know, sometimes, you know, like I said, the Spirit of God will have us do things we don't necessarily want to do in our flesh. You know, I've heard people say when I was young in the Lord, they said, oh, everything God wants you to do, you'll want to do it. I found that. It didn't take me long, Pastor Chuck, Miss Joanne, to figure out that's a bunch of baloney. I'll never want to fast. Am I alone in that? I've never asked my body, you want to fast? Oh, yeah, great idea, man. Come on. Well, the longer the better. Love it. No, it's always in disagreement with that. Yeah. Sometimes it's in disagreement with prayer. But we can't be led by that. We got to be led by it seemed good. Amen? Did you get something tonight? Yeah. See, just talking about wisdom from the Spirit. I don't know about you, but I'm going to help live in my life. I've done proven I can mess it up. I look at this, and I honest, all the negative things, all the bad things that, you know, came into my life. You know, we all get attacks. I'm not talking about those, but just things that were messed up. I did it. I said, I did it. I did it. I had an issue, and I won't tell you what it is, but I had a physical issue, okay, going on in my body. Something was happening. I had a physical thing going on. And I was just meditating out of Mark 11:23. You know, how many know what Mark 11:23? You know, the scripture Brother Hagin wrote. You know, Mark 11:20. People think that, you know, he quoted it so much. You know, that whosoever shall say to this mountain, and don't doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. And I thought, I was just meditating on that concerning my problem about speaking to the mountain in my body. Now see, I'm just talking about we got to learn to take correction. We got to know if anything's messed up, we're probably the one that messed it up. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, what have you been telling people about that situation when you talk to them? I said, oh, I've been telling them the wrong thing. He said, yeah. He said, do you want this scripture to work for you? I said, yeah. He said, quit telling them that. All right, I'll tell you what it is, because I want you to understand that we don't just ignore problems, but we can't talk problems. I wasn't sleeping. For a long time, I've been sleeping 4 hours, 5 hours a night, okay? And some people, they're good with that. I've met people, that's all I need. Well, okay, great. But I'd feel like draggy all day long, you know, and I'm thinking, man. And so I'm meditating on that scripture over there and I think, because you know the Bible tells us God gives his beloved sleep, right? So I'm meditating on that scripture and the Lord says, what have you been telling people? Well, I've been telling them I only sleep 4 or 5 hours a night. I said, well, there you go. Quit telling them that. I said, okay, I'll quit telling them that. I'll tell them I sleep 7 to 9 hours. On a good day, 10. Leave me alone, maybe 12. That would be a working of miracles right there. But the last several nights, I've slept 7 to 8 hours.
Amen.
I thought, but I had to take correction when the Lord said, quit saying that. Quit telling people. Because we talked to other people, and we talk about sleep, and say, man, I only sleep 4 or 5 hours a night. Well, the Lord said, well, there you go. Come on, y'all, listen, I'm just telling you what he told me. All I know is I just said, okay, I take the correction. I'll quit saying that. And I speak that I sleep, I say in Jesus' name, I sleep 7 to 9 hours a night, depending on what I feel like that night. And ever since, I've slept 7 to 9 hours every night. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, what happened? Well, you know, you got to just do what the Bible says. Stand up, praise God, for his word. Well, that's just wisdom from the Spirit, right? He's just saying, well, son, how do you expect Mark 11:23 to work for you when you're talking something else on the side? Right? It's like marriage doesn't work if you have somebody on the side. How many know that? And God's word doesn't work if you're doing something on the side, contrary to it. So I just said, okay, I'll never say that again. That's it. Not happening. Ask me how many hours I sleep. Go ahead.
How many hours do you sleep?
7 to 9. And I'm going to tell you something. Maybe someday I might up that. We'll see. But right now, that's good enough. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Father, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you. We have wisdom through your word. We have wisdom through the Spirit of God, who you've sent to indwell every one of us believers, not just certain people, but everyone that's born again. You've sent him to indwell us. And if we'll just get quiet and listen to the inside, we can have that same thing that, Silas had. It seems good. It seems right. I have peace about it. We can have that. We can have that witness of the Spirit about what we're doing in life when we need it, when we're making decisions that we really need some help on. We can have his help. Thank you for it. You receive that? Amen. Now, Lord, as we go, thank you. We receive Psalm 91 over our lives, and thank you that in Jesus' name we're protected, blessed, and healthy. Amen. Amen. See you Sunday.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.